We're going to be continuing our series in the book of Acts. But before we do this morning, there's just a couple of announcements or just a few things that I want to let people know. So one is from Alan and Elise, just to let everyone know that they are right for meals at the moment. So we don't need to be supplying meals. Baby Abigail is sleeping well. Once Alan goes back to work in about 5 or 6 weeks' time, maybe then some meals might be helpful, and Marilyn can let us know if that's needed. Last week we got the leaders out the front and we prayed for them and affirmed them, and I had a couple of people ask me why Paria wasn't up here and why she wasn't one of the leaders now. And so I just wanted to clarify that in case that's a question that anybody else has. And the reason is that Paria is pregnant with twins. And so as well as having a two-year-old and as well as having had terrible morning sickness, she's actually just not coping with life super well at the moment. So she's asked if she can sort of step down. So she's still engaging in community, but she's just not going to be functioning as one of our leaders for this next season. And the last thing is I'm going to ask Maddie if she can come up here now. So most of you will know Maddie. She's studying at Morling this year, and she's about to go on a mission trip tomorrow. And so I asked if she'd just come and just share briefly with us what that looks like. So take it away.
Good morning, church. Hello. So surprise, I'm going to Cambodia tomorrow. We're leaving at 10 a.m., me and about 14 or 15 other people. So that's with my class at Morling College. We're all going over for a cultural exposure trip. So I've got like the itinerary on my phone, so I'm not like texting while talking to you. So a few things that we'll be doing. When we get there, we'll be doing orientation, briefing, safety, all the things like that. And then we're doing things like farming and fishing, and we'll be going sightseeing. It's like the temples and the royal palace and things like that. So our two main spots that we'll be in is Siem Reap and Phnom Penh. They're like the big cities. Yeah. Most of us have never been overseas before, so it's going to be a huge, new experience for us. So both the Sundays we'll be going to churches there. We'll be visiting museums and things like that. And we're also going to be visiting, mission, ministry projects that are over there. And engaging in them and helping out, things like that. I think we also might be teaching English for a couple of days as well to some of the people there. One of the days we have a big bus trip to go to the next city all day, which is going to be, So that's like most of what we're doing. I'm really excited. Yeah. Please pray for me.
So is there any way specifically that you'd like us to be praying?
Yeah. So it'd be really good if you guys can pray that, like, I'm a big introvert usually. So being with 15 other people for a whole 2 weeks, I'm going to be struggling. So please pray that I can just energize myself through God and, be able to get out of my comfort zone and really be able to experience as much as I can, and safety and health, that would be good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Do you want to just stay there? Scott, do you just want to come out? I haven't asked Scott this, but do you just want to come out and just pray for Maddie? Scott's one of our leaders.
Okay, let's pray for Maddie. Father God, we just thank you for Maddie and for the gift that she is to our church, and we just pray that this will be a great new experience for her, and that she'll be able to grow and mature from this experience. I know she's going to have a great time because I've been there many times, and just engaging with the local people, she'll just love that. And we just pray, God, that you'll just keep her and the whole group healthy, and also be able to have debriefs every day to be able to let out any issues that they're feeling, and that they can be open and honest with each other, as that's part of being on this trip, and that they also learn about themselves and what they're able to cope with and what they need to learn in the future. And we just ask God for just her eyes and ears and eyes to be open to everything that's happening around them, and just also be open to the work that you're actually doing there already, and that you're already doing great work there. And we just pray that, yeah, she'll come back feeling like you are in that place, and that she has learned a lot and mature, and that you'll just keep them all cohesive in the group, and that they'll be an encouragement to those who they visit as well. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, so back in 1997, McGowans went on a road trip. We went round Australia. We did over 24,000 kilometres, and it took us exactly 6 months. So we took our two older kids out of school. We bought ourselves a very daggy little caravan. We rented out our house, and off we went. And it was the best 6 months of my whole life, I think. We travelled down through forests, through deserts. Sometimes the road disappeared and we ended up driving down creeks. We ate crocodile. Rob caught barramundi, which was pretty delicious, and goanna. We rode camels. We played, the kids played in the desert. That was our bath one night, a hot spring that we found by the side of the road. We had a fabulous time, especially when Rob's surfboard broke in half. The kids were so pleased that it meant we didn't have to stop at every surfing break that we travelled around Australia. We went to Movie World and we also went whale watching. It was a fantastic road trip and probably the best experience of my life. Well, this morning we're looking at Paul and Barnabas, who also went on a road trip. However, their road trip was just 2,000 kilometres, nothing to compare to ours, and it took them 2 years. But while our road trip was a holiday, let me tell you, Paul and Barnabas's road trip was anything but a holiday. It was full of hardship, but they went with the intention of bringing the gospel to all of the different places that they visited. Last week, if you were here, you would be remembering that Cameron talked to us about the way God used Peter to pave the way for Gentiles to be accepted and included into the early church. It was revolutionary thinking. It was completely outside of what they were ready for, that God would include Gentiles, which are basically people like you and me. We saw Peter had to overcome his own personal prejudice. He had to overcome his own feelings as well as the traditions that he'd grown up with. But it wasn't just Peter who had to do that. All of the church had to do that. And today we see Luke's story shift from Peter and the other disciples to Saul, who most of us will know better as Paul. That's his Greek or Roman name. And like Peter, he had to overcome a lot of different things before he could follow Jesus. The story shifts from Jews to Gentiles, from Peter to Paul, and from Israel to the Roman Empire and the rest of the world. Where we're sitting today is chapter 13, and it's part 3 of the book of Acts, because it's where we see the gospel go out into all of the world, just as Jesus said it would. But before we get into the passage, before we really get into this mission, this trip, I want us to just stop for a moment to think about something that this week's been highlighted to me. And that is how we read the Bible. Because I've become aware that it's something that many of us don't do regularly. And for some people, it's because they don't actually know how to read it. Because let's face it, it's a book that's not the same as other books that we read. So I want us to just use the first four verses of chapter 13 to illustrate how I would read the Bible. So what I do first is I work out what verses I'm going to read, and then I read them all the way through, whether it's a few verses or a chapter, or even a book if it's one of the shorter books. But then I break it down and I just read it slowly, maybe just a phrase, maybe just a few verses. And as I go through, I stop and I think about what I'm reading. I think about what I'm reading and I ask myself questions like, what do I learn from these verses? How relevant are these verses to my life or to the life of our church? So here's the verses for today. Among the prophets and teachers of the church at Antioch of Syria were Barnabas, Simeon, called the Black Man, Lucius from Cyrene, Manaen, the childhood companion of King Herod Antipas, and Saul. One day as these men were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I've called them." So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. So Barnabas and Saul were sent out by the Holy Spirit. So my first question, as I look at that, is what do I learn from these verses? I learn that one of the earliest Christian churches had a leadership that reflected the culture of the community around them by being ethnically diverse and at that time all male. But I also reflected that the culture of the kingdom of, they also reflected the culture of the kingdom of God, because they had leaders who were prophets and teachers. Godly leaders who took their relationship with God serious and made time for worship and prayer and fasting. Leaders who were dependent on the Spirit. And I see that here it was obvious that the Holy Spirit was also present and active. I see leaders who are in tune with the Spirit, who aren't surprised when we read that on one particular day, when they're gathered together, they hear the Spirit of God tell them to appoint Paul and Barnabas for a mission. But even as I read that, I find myself thinking, well, how did they hear the Spirit's voice? Was it an audible voice like you can hear me now? Or was it just inside their minds? Did they all hear that voice, or was it just one of them, or a couple of them? We don't know. But what's clear is they were listening, and they did recognise the Spirit's voice, and so they were willing to follow his lead. But so what? You know, if I just read these verses and I just leave it at that, all I've got is some more knowledge. Now, information is good to know, but it's pretty meaningless if I don't then do something with it, if I don't allow it to inform or influence my life. So as I read it, I consider, how does this apply to me and as a leader here to our church? I ask myself questions like, what sort of leader am I? Am I a leader like these guys? Am I committed like they were to worship and fasting and prayer? Am I listening for the voice of God's Spirit and willing to obey? I think about how it connects with our church, and I get encouraged because I see similarities between our church and this church in Antioch. Our leadership also reflects the diversity of our community in age, gender, and ethnicity. We're a Spirit-filled church with godly leaders, gifted prophets and teachers committed to listening and learning and teaching from God's Word. We do worship and pray, and some of us fast, though I highlight that as something that we could definitely improve in. And we do commission people for special work. Ray and Fran, years ago, were commissioned by this church for mission overseas. More recently, Diane or Ray, who David mentioned before, to go over to Southeast Asia. Last year, I was commissioned to lead the church here. Like this church, we lay hands on people We put our hands on them as we pray for them, just as a way of blessing them and acknowledging the authority that we're giving to them for their role. All of those things come from just these four verses. Through prayerfully reading these verses and then stopping to sit with the Spirit of God and say, what do I learn from these verses? And how can I apply them to my life? How can I make them make sense? The writer in the book of Hebrews wrote that the Bible is the alive and powerful living Word of God. But I want to add that you have to read it if you want to know what God's saying to you, and you've got to apply it if it's going to have any actual meaning in your life. So my question is, do you read the Bible? Do you make it a habit or part of your daily routine to read and consider something from God's Word? It's God's word about his interaction with his creation. It's a love story. A story between God and us that he wants to use to build and shape our lives. A story for us to love and to share. I mean, do you read and consider and act on what you see in the Bible? Because Paul and Barnabas do. As we read through these chapters, we see them travel to different cities to tell people about what they know about the good news of Jesus Christ and life in the kingdom of God. Do you read the Bible? Do you read it and then apply what it says? So, let's take a look at what it says and see how we can apply it. If you have a look at this map and follow the blue and the red lines, you will see that Paul and Barnabas sailed from Syria across to Cyprus, then up to Pamphylia, Pisidia, and Galatia. And they are all part of modern-day southern Turkey. And then when they're finished, they sail back to Antioch. A road and a boat trip of 2,000 kilometres in 2 years, with the specific purpose of enabling people to hear about Jesus. What you notice as you read through these chapters is that in each of the towns that they visit along the way, they follow the same pattern or routine. An example of that is found in these verses. Paul and Barnabas travelled inland to Antioch of Pisidia. On the Sabbath, they went to the Jewish synagogue for the services. After the usual readings from the book of Moses and the prophets, those in charge of the service sent them this message. Brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, come and give it. So Paul stood. He lifted his hand to quiet them and he started speaking. Men of Israel, he said, and you God-fearing Gentiles, listen to me. This routine was when they got to any new town, the first thing they did was they went and found some like-minded people. People that they knew loved God. Men and women who they knew would be open to hear from God. People who might be able to support them in a practical sense. Who might be able to make connections for them with other people in the local community. And so for them, that was the local synagogue, the equivalent of probably our church today. And they start there with a conversation with the people there that's based on what we would call common ground, things that they already know these people would agree with. For them, that was the story of God choosing Abraham and Israel as his own people. For us, the common ground might be a creator God. They talked about God rescuing his people from slavery in Egypt, giving them the land of Canaan, judges, prophets, kings to rule over them in God's name. And then once they've established that common ground, once they've got the ear of the people, then they talk about Jesus. They describe Jesus as a descendant of David, as fulfilling the Old Testament prophecies concerning the Messiah. They talk about John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus, calling the people to repentance. This would have been information that these men and women were waiting for. They were ready to hear this. And I would picture them leaning forward in their seats, hanging on every word that Paul and Barnabas spoke, excited, wanting to hear more, until Paul and Barnabas then go on to say that the people in Jerusalem refused to believe it. And instead of accepting Jesus, they actually killed him. Imagine those people going from leaning forward to then hearing that. They would have been devastated. But then Paul and Barnabas go on to describe how God raised Jesus to life again. How people had seen him after he'd risen from the dead and could confirm it and act as witnesses. It's like a roller coaster of emotion. This group starts off being politely interested, yeah. And then they move forward to an excitement and a joy, to then become sadness and disappointment, to then move forward again into joy and anticipation, wanting to hear how the story goes on. Imagine how excited they must have been when they heard him say these words. And we are here to proclaim that through this man Jesus there is forgiveness for your sins. Everyone who believes in Jesus is made right in God's sight, something the law of Moses could never do. Forgiveness and being made right with God is now available to everyone who believes in Jesus. You know, no wonder we read that when the Gentiles hear this, they're very glad. They thank the Lord for his message, and all who were chosen for eternal life became believers, and the Lord's message spread throughout that whole region. Lots of people came to faith through this message. And you would think that that would be a cause for celebration. But it wasn't. Instead, the Jews stir up the influential people in the city and they incite a mob against Paul and Barnabas and they force them out of town. Do you get how tragic that is? The very people who should have supported them, who should have celebrated with them, are instead overcome by an incredible jealousy and they cause the city to reject them and run them out of town. Last week we were visited by a couple named John and Elaine. They were an older couple who travel around the state sharing the gospel. And they shared with a couple of us how in some churches that they visit, they're actually not welcomed at morning tea. They're not welcomed to share their story with the people in the church because the leaders there are afraid that some people might leave their church, that some people might go with them. Instead of supporting and encouraging them, those churches give in to fear and insecurity and they tell them to go. Can I say that is not a kingdom mentality? It's not trusting in God. You know, but John and Elaine, to their credit, they don't let the attitudes of these small-minded people stop them. They continue to visit churches and encourage churches, and so did Paul and Barnabas. Luke tells us that when they encountered this kind of opposition, they shook the dust off their feet as a sign of rejection and went on to the next town. They did what Jesus told his disciples to do when he sent them out on mission. Back in Luke's gospel, we read Jesus saying to them, "If you enter a town and it welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you. Heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God is near you now. But if a town or a church refuses to welcome you, then go out into its streets and say, 'We wipe even the dust of your town from our feet to show that we have abandoned you to your fate.'" That's what Paul and Barnabas do. They preach and encourage those who accept their message, but they reject and move on from those who don't. They don't let it get them down, not even when they're beaten, when they're arrested, when they're stoned and they're left for dead. They just get up and they continue their road trip on to the next town, starting in the next synagogue with the same message. They go from town to town planting small new churches. In some of those towns, it would have been just a few families meeting in someone's home, but meeting regularly to pray and to learn together, to encourage each other, to provide support and guidance. And I would say, not unlike us here this morning, except we meet here in this building. What I find encouraging is that after preaching this good news and making disciples in all these different towns, they turn around and they go back and visit all of these new churches again. They visit them, strengthening the believers, encouraging them to continue in their faith, reminding them that we must suffer hardship to enter the kingdom of God. They appoint elders in every church, and with prayer and fasting, they turn them over to the care of the Lord in whom they've put their trust. And then they travel back to where their journey began. And when they get back to Antioch, they call the church together and report everything God's done through them and how he's opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. What an incredible way to finish their road trip. To come home and share with their church family all of the amazing things God's done in and through them. A bit like Rob and I getting home from our trip and boring all our friends with all our photos. We're going to ask Maddie to do that when she gets back from Cambodia. She's going to come and encourage us by sharing stories of what God did in and through her in Cambodia. How she saw the Spirit moving among the people there. What she experienced in her mission trip. You know, it is so exciting and encouraging to see these early churches were formed by leaders of a church like ours. Leaders who were willing to listen to the Spirit. Leaders who were willing to do what the Spirit said, even though for them that meant losing two key important leaders. Encouraging that these churches were formed because two men were willing to obey and follow the leading of God's Spirit. Willing to trust God and step out into something completely unknown. Who refused to give up or let hard circumstances stop them or even soften their message. Should it be any different for us? You know, God still expects church leaders to be listening. Listening for the voice of his Spirit and then willing to follow his lead, even if that message is uncomfortable. He still calls people out for special work like pastoring churches and going on road trips to share the gospel with people who haven't yet been able to hear about Jesus. But you and I are so blessed. We don't have to go overseas to do that. We just need to go out the front door. Because God has brought the people from the world right here to us. And he gives us opportunities every single day to make him known. So my question is, how are you doing that? You don't have to go and learn a new language. You don't have to get on a plane. You don't have to get on a boat. You don't have to learn about a new culture. How are you using the opportunities the Spirit of God gives you every single day to let the people around you see and know Jesus through you? You know, thankfully, the early church and her leaders were intentional about regularly meeting to worship and pray and fast and seek God together. And thankfully, Paul and Barnabas were intentional about listening to the Spirit, following his lead, because that led to people hearing and knowing about Jesus, and new churches were born. But I want to say that now it's our turn. It's our turn to read and worship and pray and fast. Why? So that people can know Jesus. It's our turn to listen for the voice of God's Spirit and follow wherever he leads, doing whatever he asks. It's our turn to share Jesus so that people around us can come to faith and new churches can be born. How great would it be if our church became so full we had to start another church congregation? See, that's the special work that God has for you and me today. Because I want to say that our everyday life is a road trip. Every time we walk outside our front door, there are opportunities for us to make Jesus and the kingdom of God known through what we say, through the way we act with our neighbours, the people we work with, the conversations we have, our attitudes. Everything about our life can be a witness for Jesus. So my question is, are you willing? Are you willing to listen to the Spirit of God and to engage with the Spirit of God and be part of that trip? Part of it individually, but I want to add also as part of this church. Because God has us on a journey. He is asking different things of us that require for us to be listening to the Spirit of God, that require us to be talking about what we think he is saying to us, praying together, worshipping together, fasting and seeking to hear God and serve him together. The question for each of us to consider is, are we willing to engage in that? Let's pray. Lord, in your word, you have given us such a powerful example of what you require. You use a church not that unlike our own, and you show us what's possible when people choose to be willing to listen and to follow. Lord, we look through the book of Acts and we see hardship follow their obedience. We see them face rejection and persecution. But at the same time, we see people come to faith. We see new churches being born. We see believers celebrating and growing and sharing life together. Lord, we pray that we might be a church like the church in Antioch, worshipping, praying, fasting, and listening to you together. We pray that as leaders that we will lead this church only after we listen and seek your will, but not giving in to fears because something might be hard or uncomfortable, but leading by example, choosing to stand and step forward. Help us as a church, Lord, to see the opportunities that you put in front of us every day and choose to step into them. We ask these things in your name for the sake of your kingdom. And we pray it in the power and the presence of Jesus Christ. Amen.